We're talking with Dr. Ron Rapay today about what clinicians need to know about treating children. Dr. Rapay is professor of psychology at Macquarie University in Sydney, Australia, where he's also the director of the Center for Emotional Health, which focuses on the understanding, treatment, and prevention of anxiety, depression, and related mental health problems. Dr. Rapay, let me ask you first, how common are childhood anxiety disorders?
Anxiety disorders in children are one of the more common types of child psychopathology. The epidemiological studies suggest probably somewhere in the vicinity of around 5% of children would meet criteria for a full clinical disorder.
What are the main risk factors in a child?
Probably one of the major risk factors is gender. Females are more likely to have anxiety disorders than boys. An anxious parent is another major one. So we know that anxious children are more likely to have parents who are anxious. That's not necessarily many of them have anxiety disorders, but in many cases it's not a full-blown disorder, but parents are just somewhat more anxious than the norm. We then, if you look back at younger children, you can then identify a sort of a personality or temperamental style which is characterized by withdrawal, shyness, sort of a sensitivity. And we know from research that kids with that sort of style of sensitive inhibition are at much higher risk of developing an anxiety disorder down the track. So there's a clear risk in terms of temperament. And in fact, you can even go earlier than that. If you look in, there's a few recent studies showing that if you look even in the first few months of life, you can identify babies, infants, who are more, they tend to cry more easily, they tend to be more motorically active, and they sort of wriggle their arms and legs more, and they get more distressed in response to novelty. And they are the ones, in turn, who are more likely to develop this sort of shy, sensitive temperament, and in turn then more likely to develop anxiety disorders. So we can go way back to, really essentially to birth, to identify a sort of a temperamental style that puts a child at risk. The other big risk factor, which seems to be coming up again and again from research, so it's a bit harder to pin down, but it seems to be something about the way that parents interact with their children, and particularly a sort of an overprotective style of parenting, a style of parenting where the parent allows the child to avoid situations and encourages, in some cases, the child to avoid, also seems to be a risk factor for anxiety.
Can therapy prevent the development of anxiety disorders in children?
It seems to be the case, yes. It seems that targeting those sort of risk factors that I talked about, so we've just started running some studies over the last few years where essentially what we do is we have a brief program for parents, teaching them how to become a little bit less protective and teaching them how they can gradually encourage their children to approach situations, to do more and more things about facing their fears. And that appears to be having a preventative effect. So the data that we have now got is that we intervene with these parents when the children are about 3 or 4 years of age. And by 7 years of age, the children whose parents have had a very, very brief period of education, those children are less likely to have an anxiety disorder and have less symptoms of anxiety than children whose parents haven't had that.
So that's treating the parents in a way. And how do you treat the children who do have an anxiety disorder?
Once children have an anxiety disorder, we have very good treatments, and there's good evidence both for medication and for cognitive behaviour therapy. In terms of the psychological treatments, the treatments for anxiety in kids are basically the same as they are for adults. So the core centres around exposure. You need to develop graduated hierarchies for the children, and they gradually face the situations and the places and the stimuli that they fear, and they gradually get used to the idea that these are not dangerous and they start to overcome it. In the broad packages, that core of exposure is usually supported with some sort of cognitive restructuring. So the children learn, just like adults do, to think differently and more realistically about situations and learn to replace some of their negative automatic thoughts with more realistic thoughts. And in some cases, that's also then augmented with other sorts of skills training. So relaxation is sometimes used. These days, mindfulness is starting to be used a little bit. And social skills training, assertiveness training, teaching the kids how to deal with bullying and teasing better. A lot of those sorts of components are added into an overall package. And we know that now with research that those sort of packages produce about 60 to 70% of children being diagnosis free at the end of treatment.
And you mentioned medication sometimes being an option.
Medication certainly can. The evidence is less extensive than for CBT, but there are a number of trials growing now. And the evidence appears to indicate that it's about similarly effective as CBT. There's one very recent trial that indicates that putting the two together, a combination of CBT plus medication, may even be a little bit more effective. But that's only one trial, so at this stage it's a little bit early to tell. But certainly medication and CBT both appear to be effective options.
And I think that trial is a specific medication, isn't it?
It is. It's one of the SSRIs. Okay. And using the SSRI together with CBT appeared in that study to have better results than either one alone.
What direction do you think research is going, other than what you've already mentioned? What would you like to see?
That's a broad question. look, obviously, I think one of the things that appears to be happening, as it is across a lot of mental health, is there's a much greater knowledge of neurosciences and brain functioning, and combining that with a lot of knowledge about genetics. And so in anxiety, we're getting much better knowledge of the genes, or some of the genes that might be involved in anxiety, and some of the brain areas that may be affected. And then translating that into saying what sort of new treatments can we develop is perhaps the direction things are going to go. There are a couple of interesting innovations also with cognitive behavioural therapy, where people are starting to come up with some new strategies for enhancing those effects and making them even better. One of those is focusing on some of the information processing biases that anxious children seem to have. So, for example, training these children to focus their attention away from threat appears to be an interesting new way of treating kids, and we may find that that will help the treatments, maybe not. Well, it'll be interesting to see. The other thing is a class of medications that is not medication in the usual sense. It's not anxiolytic, but rather there are certain medications that appear to enhance the learning capacity of CBT, so of exposure therapy. So you do your exposure, but by taking a particular medication, one of them being an anti-tuberculosis antibiotic medication, D-cycloserine, by taking this pill, it appears that people actually learn about the safety of the situation much more effectively than when they don't take the pill. So it appears that maybe in the future what people start to develop are medications that actually work synergistically together with cognitive behavioural strategies to produce even better treatments.
Thank you. We'll look forward to finding out what does happen in the future. This is Jean Kaplan-Tycho for ADAA.